The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 6th chapter, text 1 through 4, given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on September 5th, 1966, in New York.
See, Bhagavan Ubas, Bhagavan, the other day, we have explained, He is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the last word of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases. Impersonal Brahma, localized Paramatma, Super Soul, and ultimately as the Supreme Personality of God. Ultimately, Bhagavan, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, is first. And secondarily, He is all-pervading Super Soul. And the Brahma Jyoti is effulgent. So here it is said, the Bhagavan Va. Bhagavan means the proprietor of everything. And all-powerful, he has got all the, all famous. Nobody can be more famous than God. And all-beautiful, and full of knowledge, and full of renunciation. Full of opulence, at the same time, full of renunciation. Here, in the material world, you'll find if a rich man has got great opulence, he is not liking to give it up. He does not like to renounce. But in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll find full of all opulence, but at the same time, full of renunciation. The six qualifications. Proprietor of all opulence, all famous, all strength, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Anywhere you find all these six qualifications in full, He is the Supreme Personality of God. So here it is said, the Bhagavan was, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking. He is speaking means, He is speaking with all knowledge. His knowledge has no flaw. Our knowledge has so many flaws. We commit mistakes. We are illusioned. Sometimes we speak something and at our heart there is something else. That means you cheat. And our experience all imperfect because our senses are imperfect. Therefore, I cannot speak anything to you. If you ask me, Swamiji, then what you are speaking? I am speaking simply what the Supreme Personality Godhead has said. I'm just repeating the same words. That's all. Don't think that I am speaking. I'm simply an instrument. Real speaker is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is without and within. So what does he say? He says, anāsitam, anāsita karma phalam, kārjam karma karoti ja, sa sanyasi cha yogi cha, na niragni na chakriya. Anāsita, anāsita means without any shelter. Karma phalam, everyone is working, expecting some result. Whatever you do, what? You expect some result. Here, Bhagavan says, the Supreme Personality Godhead says, that anyone who works without any shelter of the result, he works. Then, if he does not expect any result, then why does he work? Unless, suppose, I ask somebody to work this way, then he will expect something, some result, some remuneration, some reward, or some salary. That is the way of working here. But Krishna prescribes the anasthita karma phalam. One who works without any expectation of result or reward, then why does he work? Karjam, it is my duty. It is my duty. Not with a result, but as duty. I am duty bound to do this. Karjam karma karoti cha. In such a way, if somebody works, sa sannyasi, he is actually in the renounced order of life. There are four stages of life according to Vedic culture. We have many times explained to you that brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyasi. Brahmachari means student life, to be trained up in spiritual understanding, Krishna consciousness, fully trained up, he is called brahmachari. Then, after full training, he accepts wife, he gets himself married and lives with family and children, that is called grihastha. Then, after 50 years, he leaves the children alone and gets out of home, accompanied by his wife, and travels in the holy places, that is called vanaprastha, retired life. And at last, he gives up his wife to the care of his children, grown-up children, and he remains alone. And that is called sannyas, a renounced order of life. So these four orders of life, there are. Now Krishna says that simply renouncement is not all. Simply renouncement is not all. There must be some duty. Karjam. Karjam means it is my duty. Now what is that duty? He has renounced the family life. He has no more botheration how to maintain his wife and children. Then what is his duty? That duty is very responsible duty, to work for Krishna. Karjam. Karjam means it is the real duty. There are two kinds of duties in our life. One duty is to serve the illusion, and the another duty is to serve the reality. When you serve the reality, that is called real sannyas. And when we serve the illusion, that is called maya. Now, either to serve the reality or to serve the illusion, I am in such a position that I have to serve. My position is not to become the master, but to become the servant. That is my constitution. Everyone in this material world, he is a servant. Nobody is master. One thinks that I am the master, but he is actually servant. Suppose if you have got your family, if you are thinking that you are the master of your wife, of your children, of your servant, of your business, that is false. You are the servant of your wife, you are the servant of your children, you are the servant of your servants. That is your real position. Any case you take, the president, he is considered to be the master of your country. but actually he is a servant of your country. So if you go on analyzing that our position is always servant, so either we shall become the servant of illusion or we shall have to become the servant of God. But if we remain the servant of illusion, then our life is wasted. Everyone is servant of illusion. He's servant of nobody, but servant of illusion. He is expecting some profit. For serving, he is expecting some profit. But that profit is transient and illusion. Therefore, he is servant of illusion. And when a person becomes to his real senses, transcendental senses, or jnana, when he becomes actually the person in knowledge, then he becomes the servant of the reality. Because I am servant always, this way or that way. So knowledge means, then why shall I serve the unreal illusion? Let me serve the reality. If my business is to serve and nothing to be, never to be master, always to serve, then why I shall serve the illusion? Let me serve the real. That sense is called knowledge. So anasthita karma phalam, sannyas, renounced order of life means one who is in perfect knowledge, he can take sannyas. Otherwise, if he takes all of a sudden the renounced order of life, he will create misery for himself and misery for others. In full knowledge, that's sannyas. So here, how that full knowledge is exhibited after sannyas, that is explained here by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is that? Karjam. It is my duty to become Krishna conscious and to serve the cause of Krishna. Oh, that is my duty. That is my real duty. When we come to this knowledge, then we become Mahatma or the great soul. Vasudeva Sarvamiti sa Mahatma Sudurlabh. You'll find in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mahang Prabhadna. After many, many births, when a person, when a soul is perfectly elevated to the platform of real knowledge, transcendental knowledge, then what does he do? He surrenders unto me, Krishna says, he surrenders unto me. Why? Now Vasudeva Sarvamiti, you are everything, Vasudeva. Vasudeva means Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. But Krishna said, such Mahatma Sudhullava, such great soul is very scarce, rarely found. But any intelligent person, if he understands this philosophy, that my ultimate goal of life is to surrender unto Krishna, why not surrender immediately? Why shall I wait? Bhavanam Janmanam Ante, why shall I wait for so many births? So that stage is called real sannyas. Karjam. Karjam means it is my duty. I am not forced, but voluntarily, out of love, transcendental love. Just like mother serves this child out of love. There is no question of salary or remuneration. The mother loves his child. Similarly, you can love the Supreme Lord in many ways. You can love the Supreme Lord as master. You can love the Supreme Lord as friend. You can love the Supreme Lord as child. You can love the Supreme Lord as your husband. Anyway, there are five different rasas or humors in which we are eternally related with the Supreme Law. And when we are actually in the liberated stage of our knowledge, we can understand that our relationship with the Lord is in this way. That is called Swarup Siddhi. That is real self-realization. That is real self-realization. Everyone has an eternal relationship with the Lord, either in the conception of master and servant, or in the conception of friend and friend, or in the conception of parents and the child, or in the conception of husband and wife, or in the conception of paramour and lover and beloved. So these relationships are there eternal. Now, the whole process of spiritual realization is to come to this stage, transcendental stage. This relationship with the Supreme Lord is perversely reflected in this material world. And therefore, we have got this relationship here, master and servant. But because it is perverted, therefore that relationship is not master and servant. That relationship is with the money and the benefits. There is no love. There is no love. Here, in this material world, the master and the servant, that relationship continues so long the master is able to pay the servant. As soon as the payment is stopped, the relationship of master and servant also stops. Therefore, that is not eternal. Come on, sit down here. That is not eternal. Similarly, here also, there is relationship between friend and friend. But in slight difference of opinion, the friendship breaks. The friend becomes enemy. Therefore, it is perverted reflection. Similarly, the relationship between, come on here, relationship between mother and son, a slight difference of opinion breaks the relationship and the son becomes out of the relationship of mother, mother becomes out of it. Everywhere, husband and wife, a slight difference of opinion, there is divorce, separation. So no relationship here in this material world is actual. Always remember that all relationship in this material world is perverted reflection of that relationship which we have got eternally with the Supreme Personality of God. It is simply reflected, just like the sun shines, and sun shine is reflected in the glass, and that reflection comes to your in my apartment at 6 o'clock, the sun shine comes from the western side, eastern side. Then in the evening, the sun shine cannot come from the eastern side. The sun shine comes from the western side. But it is coming because it is reflected through a glass in the opposite house. This is the idea of reflection. That reflection of the sunshine is not real. But it appears just like sunshine. Similarly, all our relationship here, either as master and servant, or as friend and friend, or as parents and child, or as husband and wife, or as lover and the beloved, any relationship, whatever we see here, that is the perverted reflection of our eternal relationship with God. So, when we come to that and the platform of understanding, then we are perfectly knowledge. So when that knowledge comes, here it is stated, he said, the service of the Lord, Krishna consciousness, Karjam, Sahajam means it is my duty. Because I have got my eternal love relationship with Krishna. There is no question of remuneration. Of course, remuneration is there, 1,000 times more than what remuneration we get here by rendering our service. Krishna, 1,000 times, there is no limit. There is a nice story of a great devotee, Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was a very powerful king, and he conquered over the heavenly planet. So, the denizens of the heavenly planet, they appealed to the Supreme Lord to save them, that we are now conquered by the demonic king, Bali Maharaj. So, Bali Maharaj and Krishna took the shape of a dwarf and went to Bali Maharaj for begging as a Brahmin boy. And he approached him, Bali Maharaj, I want something from you. You are a great king. You give in charity to the Brahmins. So I want something from you. The Bali Maharaj said, yes, I shall give you. What you want? Now I want land of three, in the measurement of my soul, three soul measurements. That's all. So he was a boy, his soul was soul not very long. The Bali Maharaj said, what he'll do is a small piece of land. He said, yes, that will suffice me. If you promise this three measurement of my three palms land, that will suffice. Then Bali Maharaj agreed, and by his true measurement of the palm, he covered the whole universe. Then he is asking, Bali Maharaj, now whatever you got, now it is finished by 2 feet, by true measurement of my palm. Now where I am going to keep my third one? Then Bali Maharaj understood that it is a favor of the Supreme Lord. He said, my dear Lord, yes, I have now lost everything, I have no other property, but I have got my head. Please kindly keep it. So the Lord was very much pleased on him, and he offered, Bali Maharaj, then what do you want from me? No, I never expected anything from you. I could understand. He wanted from me everything, so I have offered me everything that is finished. I'll do it. Then Lord says, yes, but from my side, I have got something to offer you, and I shall remain as your order carrier servant in your door. So he remained always, just like we are sitting here. There may be some doorman. Lord became his doorman. So that is the return. If we offer something to Lord, that is rewarded in many millions of times. So we should not expect. The Lord is always serious to return the service of the servant, of his devotee. So there are many devotees. This devotee, Bali Maharaj, is surrendered everything for the service of the Lord. So he became a famous king. Sarvatma sapane abhavat bali vayyat. So now, anyone who thinks that service of Krishna, a service of the Lord, is my duty, he is the man in perfect knowledge. Sa sannyasi ta yogi cha. And is actually yogi. We have heard the names of so many yogis. But here, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he is actual yogi. Who has surrendered himself fully unto me, and he is engaged in my service as a matter of duty. That's it. Sa-santrasi sa-yogi cha. Na-niragni na-cha-kriya. Na-niragni. Niragni means those who have left home Varnasam Dharma, one who is a householder, he has to perform daily yoga. So there is fire. Still you will find the Parsi is a fire worshipper. So this fire worship is recommended in Vedic literature. So grihasthas or the householders, they are expected to offer sacrifice in the fire daily. Ja sannyasam iti prahus yogam tad viddhi pandava na jasang nasta sankalpa yogi bhavati kascha. Now here is very important point. Ja sannyasam iti prahus. Lord Sri Krishna in the steps of yoga, that whatever is known as sannyas, renounce order of life, that is also yoga. Yoga system and sannyas, there is no difference. Because everything on the yoga system, this Bhagavad Gita is also known as yoga system. You will find here three kinds of yoga. Karma yoga, jnana yoga and bhakti yoga. So, just like you have got a staircase, to rise up to the fifth or sixth or tenth floor or more than that, the whole staircase or the lift service is called yoga. Now, somebody may be in the fifth floor, somebody may be in the tenth floor, somebody may be on the 50th floor, but the same lift service is going. So you take the lift service as the yoga, connection between the highest story to the down. Anyone who has elevated himself to a certain platform, someone is called karma yogi, someone is called jnana yogi, someone is called dhyana yogi, someone is called bhakti yogi. So there are different kinds of yoga in this conception. Otherwise, this lip service, yoga service is the same. It is the difference is between the elevation point. So similarly, jag sannyasam iti prahu yogantam viddhi pandava. O Arjuna, Pandava means the son of Pandu, Arjuna. You can understand that what is sannyas and what is yoga, they are the same principle. They are the same principle. How? Na jhasang nasta sankalpa yogi bhavati kasthan. Because without being freed from desire or sense gratification, nobody can become either a yogi or a sannyas. Everyone is trying to have some profit out of his activity. There are many yogis, they perform yoga system or teach yoga system for some profit. But that is not the idea of yoga system. Everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Everything. Whatever we do, either as ordinary worker or as sannyasi or as yogi or as jnani, all our energy should be adopted with Krishna consciousness. That is real sannyas, that is real yoga. Arudukham nijyogam karma karanam uchyate. Those who are just stepping on the staircase of the yoga system, for them karma karanam uchyate, they must walk. In the beginning, nobody should stop working. Nobody should stop working. Just like you will find in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna requesting Arjuna to become a yogi, but he never asked him to cease from the fight. How one can become a yogi at the same time remain a fighter? Let a practical example you see. Krishna is asking Arjuna, tasmād yogi bhava Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, therefore he become a yogi. But he at the same time he is asking to fight. And now we know the yogi sits down at a place and meditates and concentrates his mind and controls his senses. How is that? He is fighting at the same time yogi. This is the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. You can remain a fighting man, at the same time the highest yogi, highest sannyasi. How? In Krishna consciousness. You have to fight for Krishna, that's all. That is the secret. If you fight for Krishna, if you fight for work, if you eat for Krishna, if you sleep for Krishna, if you do everything for Krishna, then you are the yogi, you are the sannyasi, and you are everything. That is the secret of Bhagavad. It is a practical example, you see, that Arjuna is asked, tasmād yogi bhava Arjuna. My dear, now you will find in this chapter, Krishna will instruct Arjuna how to become a dhyana yogi. That is, meditation, yogi, in meditation. He will ask Arjuna in this chapter, and he will find, Arjuna will say, my dear Krishna, it is impossible for me. It is impossible for me. The system which is recommended for meditation is not possible for me. And actually also, although the instruction of yoga system is offered to Krishna in very full detail, you'll never find in the history of Arjuna's life that ever he became a meditator. Ever. Then how he became the most perfect yogi? That we'll find in the, at the end of this chapter, that one who is always thinking of Krishna. Yogi namati sarvesam madgata hantaratmana sadhyavan vidati juma sami vittatamo mataha. Krishna, when he saw that Arjuna, he declined. Then he said, my dear Krishna, my dear Arjuna, you are the highest yogi. You are the topmost yogi. Why? Because you are always thinking of me. Yes. You have no other business than to think of me. This is the yoga system, this is the sannyas system, this is the jnana system, all perfection of jnana, yoga, dhyana, whatever, sacrifice, charity and penance, all the recommended activities for spiritual realization ends in Krishna consciousness. So if you directly become Krishna conscious, then you are yogi, sannyasi and everything, as it is stated here. Sa sannyasi sa yogi cha. He is sannyasi, he is yogi, and he is everything. So this simple method to become Krishna conscious is the highest perfection of life. Therefore the society established for Krishna consciousness. And the techniques are there in the Bhagavad Gita and there are Srimad Bhagavatam. Just try to accept this principle of life and your this human form of life will be successful and perfect by Krishna consciousness. So arukha munet yugam karma karanam uchyate, those who are in the preliminary state, they should always work for Krishna. Always, they must find out, always some duty. What is there to work now for Krishna consciousness? Karma karanam uchyate. They should not remain idle for a second. Always find out some duty. That is meditation. How I shall work for Krishna? Arurukhamunet yogam karma karanam uchyate, yogarurasyatasyaiva samak karanam uchyate. And when one is advanced in perfect stage of that Krishna consciousness, then he may not physically work, but because within himself he is always working for Krishna. samakaranam cha. So in the beginning, just like in small boys and children, they are always 24 hours engaged in the schooling. Otherwise, they will spoil. So similarly, those who are in the preliminary stage of Krishna consciousness, they should always engage themselves in the work. There are varieties of work. Now, those who are actually working with our society, they practically do not find any time, any rest. There are so many work. They cannot finish. Day and night we have got work for Krishna consciousness. And we are happy to execute such work. And the students who are working with us, cooperating, they are also happy. You will find happiness. If you chant Hare Krishna 24 hours, you'll never get tired, and that is it. You'll never get tired. And any other material thing, if you chant or you repeat three times, you'll get tired. It is a practical thing. But if you go on chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours, you'll never get tired. So if you engage yourself in the activity of Krishna consciousness, you'll never get tired. Because you are acting on the spiritual platform. Spiritual platform is absolute. The material planet platform is different. If you work very hard, then you get tired. So, these are the understanding of spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Now, here it is very clearly explained. Jadahi nendriyatyesu na karmasu anusajjate sarvasankalva sannyasi yogārhūrastadacchate. When one becomes first-class yogi, or when one is considered to be elevated in the highest yogic platform, or sannyas platform, then jada, at that time, when na indriyātyesu, a person works not for sense gratification, that everyone works for sense gratification. In the material world, everyone is working for sense gratification. Everyone works here to get some reward, some remuneration for wages, and that is utilized for sense gratification. Now here it is said, yogārhūra, when one is perfect yogi, that is explained here, that jadāhi na indriyārthesu, when one does not work for sense gratification, na karmasu anusajjate, he does not engage himself in the work simply for sense gratification. And sarva sankalpa sannyasi, and he has no desire to get any fruit. Because his desire, King Krishna, is already there. So he has no other desire.